sounds of celebrations in the streets of Egypt just 2 years ago as Hosni Mubarak stepped down from power. And there was a similar feeling last night. The scene is the Egyptian military announced that President Mohamed Morsi had been deposed. And today, Adli Mansour, Chief Justice of Egypt's Supreme Constitutional Court, was sworn in as the new caretaker leader and acting head of state. As the news yesterday was breaking of Morsi's ouster from power, we spoke with one of the activists who supported the protests. Dalia Ziada is an Egyptian blogger and activist based in Cairo. And when we spoke, she said Egyptians couldn't wait to begin the celebrations.
I'm here right now with my family. The whole family is gathering to celebrate, and I think this is happening in almost in every house in Egypt. Tahrir Square is celebrating. Other squares in other cities are celebrating. Our demand is met, and our voice heard.
But for all the jubilation in the streets and celebrations in many homes throughout Egypt, there is also a significant portion of the population mourning the loss of Mohamed Morsi today and anxious about the future of this unstable country.
What do you want? Democracy!
What do you want?
Democracy!
What do you want?
Democracy!
It's a coup! It's a coup!
It's a coup! It's a coup!
That's the sound of Morsi's supporters protesting the removal of their president in Egypt yesterday. David Kirkpatrick, Cairo bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times, joins us now. Hi, David.
Hello.
David, plenty of reporting in The New York Times from your colleague, Karim Fahim, especially, about the unseen, largely unseen to the West anyway, group of people in the streets of Cairo, hundreds of thousands of supporters of the Muslim Brotherhood and Mohamed Morsi, completely dejected today.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm surprised that it's not more visible in the West, because it's a very big crowd here over the last almost a week, you know, tens of thousands out on the streets in Cairo and around the country, representing a pretty good cross-section of this country that does not want to see President Morsi go. You know, at least a quarter of the country, he won half the votes, and he's probably got a level of support a little bit lower than that, but not too far today. And what we're seeing now in Egypt is that this new popular uprising has a kind of repressive element to it. We're seeing Islamist television stations taken off the air, their crews summarily arrested, senior leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood, including their top spiritual leader, also under arrest. President Morsi himself locked in a military barracks some way. None of their top leaders can speak to their families or colleagues. So it is indeed a scary time for Egyptian Islamists, many of whom fear they could be on the receiving end of yet another crackdown like they've endured periodically since Nasser came to power in 1952. There's no way to sugarcoat the fact that people are being locked in jail for the content of their political beliefs. And these are not people who have a history of violence or who can be credibly alleged to be plotting violence.
Is there any sense that this crackdown or the possible crackdown, David Kirkpatrick, is punitive or is it merely strategic? Whether after this sort of initial period of uncertainty, whether there's any indication that people who are being held for political speech or political beliefs will be quickly released or if this is completely open-ended?
That's a good question. You know, I spoke this morning to Mohamed El-Baradei, a Nobel Prize winner and a liberal leader here who supported the military takeover. And he says that they're calling on the military to be inclusive, to allow the Muslim Brotherhood to participate just like everyone else in the political process. That's going to be a big question, whether that's really allowed to happen. If so, the Brotherhood will probably resume a leading role in the parliament as it had before if there are free and fair elections. And I can't imagine that parliamentary majority is going to be very excited about the way things have unfolded here. You know, to be sure, a lot of people wanted them out. And yet it's hard to get from, well, you guys are incompetent or unpopular to you deserve to be locked in jail and we'll have a military coup.
And also the reality on the ground, as I understand it, that it's hard to get to a vision of a stable and governable Egypt without including the Muslim Brotherhood, which, as you said, has fairly broad popular support, even if they in governance, they weren't great at it.
Yes. One of the interesting and perhaps hopeful things here is that one of the newly formed ultra-conservative parties, the Salafi parties, who people in the West usually consider kind of just plainly more radical than the Brotherhood, They lined up behind the generals. They said, look, the Brotherhood here has made a terrible mistake by hogging all the power. They've failed to include their opponents. They're doing a bad job. Something's got to change. We need new presidential elections. And so there was a Salafi sheikh behind the general when he announced the takeover, and they will be a part of the process going forward. So there's an Islamist element to this new plan. There are already moves to include Islamists, if not per se, the Muslim Brotherhood. And that diffuses some of the really dangerous, really polarizing secularist versus Islamist, you know, godless versus godly conflict that you don't want here, you don't want in the United States, you don't want anywhere.
You don't want it, and yet the reporting from your bureau, also from the street, we should add, has some very disturbing undertones, quotes talking to supporters of Mohamed Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood in the streets, basically saying they feel oppressed, they feel dejected, and the only way out of this is civil war. It's very scary.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we're going to see two conflicting narratives. One is a popular uprising against a not sufficiently inclusive, not sufficiently democratic ruler. And the other is going to be a military coup against Islamists on the basis of the content of their beliefs, that secular forces, the old regime military and security institutions, the old regime judges, their friends in the West, none of these people could abide by allowing Islamists to come to power. They just don't like Islam. That's the really dangerous thing that's going to be echoing now in some Islamist circles.
And do we have any sense, David Kirkpatrick, of the timeline? This might not be knowable. We're only a day after the coup, already a technocratic government with constitutional authority set up. We have any sense of a realistic timeline to get to more parliamentary elections and sort of a constitutional framework and a coalition that people can start to point to as the next chapter here?
Dr. Elberadei predicted 6 months to a year in Egypt. Who knows?
Uncertainty reigns in Egypt, and that's probably an understatement. As supporters of the Muslim Brotherhood and ex-president Mohamed Morsi contemplate their future after having their guy removed from office forcibly. David Kirkpatrick, Cairo bureau chief for our partner in the New York Times. Thank you, David.
Glad to be here.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.